I'd like to call your attention to the Word of the Lord. And again, I want to stress to you that may be visiting among us and that you may be lost, that these testimonies that you just heard of these people that stood and spoke for the Lord this morning, they are real testimonies. This is not put on, made up, pre-programmed, or otherwise orchestrated to impress you. But the things that we say and the things that we do in this place, they come from the heart. And they are real. And I want to speak to you about reality this morning. And I hope that you'll give your attention to God's Word. I want to read some scriptures by the help of the Lord from Luke chapter 16. These scriptures will be familiar to many Bible readers, but I hope you won't have any preconceived ideas. Turn to Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 19, and I want to read the remainder of the chapter for a reading lesson this morning. Jesus speaking said, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. With the mistakes we may have made, that is reading verse 19 through verse 31 of the 16th chapter of the book of Luke for a reading lesson. I want to read a portion of scripture for a text or additional scripture, if you will, in the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Jesus here was speaking to his disciples, and he made a statement to them about being afraid of men. I want you to notice what his instruction to them was. He said, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, I want to speak to you about facing reality this morning. If you are a visitor, if you are here and lost, and you've never been saved by the grace of God, it is time to face reality. And I'll say this to those of us that are saved. If you've been saved by the grace of God, I hope today that this message from the Lord will help us to face reality. The word reality is defined very simply: truth or fact. How many times in your life have you heard the expression, well, it's time to face the facts? It's time to face reality. We live in a world today that the very best that they can, and many of us have done the very same thing. We like to live in a fantasy. There are things that come up in our lives on a day-to-day basis that disturb us, that are unpleasant to us, and we have the ability in our mind many times to block that out, and we can make it seem to ourselves that that thing, whatever it might be, is not as serious or as dangerous or as unpleasant as it might seem to us initially. Children like to play in a land of fantasy. They have make-believe friends and things of that nature. They live many times in a world of fantasy and daydreams. But there comes a time when we must face the truth or the facts about a certain thing. Living a fantasy may seem to bring some relief from your circumstance or situation for a specific time, but the reality of that situation never changes. For a lost person, one who is separated from God, unsaved, unregenerated, the truth or facts concerning their condition and their situation with God are never pleasant. And many people today will try their very best to avoid church, to avoid the preaching of the gospel, to avoid any conversation about Jesus Christ, to avoid the unpleasantries of being lost. I want to tell you this morning, it's time to face reality. If you will, for just a few moments of time with me, will you face reality with me this morning? There are some things about your condition and about the condition of the world that if only people could realize and understand the truth and the facts about the matter, possibly they would seek God and be saved. If you will believe the Bible with me this morning, will you face reality with me? Let's look at some things in the Scriptures. Fact: all men are sinners. I want to bring you facts this morning from the Word of God. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans, and I want to give you Scripture for everything that I say to you this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Some of these things are very elementary for these that have been studying the Bible for many years, but these are the elementary facts concerning your condition as a lost person. This is the reality of where you are. I spoke with a man last week on my job, and I spoke with him concerning salvation and the Lord, and he told me that he didn't feel that he had any need of salvation because he felt that he was a pretty good person. He's living in a fantasy. Paul said in Romans 3:23, even for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Isaiah chapter 64, the Bible declares that all of our righteousness, not some of our righteousness, not a portion of our righteousness, but he said all of our righteousness is but filthy rags in the sight of God. In Psalms 58:3, the psalmist wrote these words concerning his condition in the sight of God. He said in Psalms 58:3, the wicked are estranged. And that word estranged simply means made a stranger. He said the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. The Bible said again in the book of Psalms, he said there is none that doeth good, no, not one. It is a bona fide fact. And the reality is that there is no living, breathing human being in this world that can say they have any righteousness of their own. There is not a single living, breathing person today who can say, I have never broken the law of God. No one can say, I have never sinned. That's the reality. You can say, I'm a pretty good person. You can say, I grew up in church. You can say, I was raised by Christian parents. You can say that I've tried to live a good life. But the reality of it is, you have done nothing good at all, ever, in your life. Even the things that you consider to be good deeds in your lost condition in the sight of God are but filthy rags. That's the reality of your situation. You're a child of Adam. We get our nature from Adam. And the Bible declares in the book of Romans that by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. But he also said that by one man's obedience, and that being Jesus Christ, many were made righteous. This is a fact. God looked down from heaven long ago, before you were ever created, and saw that man would sin. He saw that Adam would partake of that fruit in the garden and that the entire human family would fall into sin. And God made a way. He devised a plan that man might be reconciled to God. Paul made a plea in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. He said, all things are of God. Listen. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is why we are present here today as a church, because God has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Listen to what he says in verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So God devised a plan. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this world, and He assumed the body of a man, the body of flesh. And I want to very briefly just tell you that He lived some 33 years upon this earth in the body of a man. He was born of a miraculous birth by the Virgin Mary, who had never known a man, and God was His Father. And in the time that He lived upon this earth, He never once committed a sin. He never told a lie. He never broke the law of God. He kept it perfectly. He went to a cross on Golgotha's hill, and He was nailed there, and He suffered the death that you and I should die, that He might be the propitiation, and that word means appeasement, for our sins. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. I said I wanted to give you Scripture. I want to give you the facts. I want you to face reality. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2. And back up to verse 1. John said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." While we just read Scripture that said there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a living, breathing human being that is righteous, but Jesus is righteous. He came in your place and in my place. He took your sins and my sins upon Him, and He carried them to the cross. And He went on to say, and He is the propitiation, the appeasement for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So this is a fact today, that Jesus came to die for your sins and for mine. And He did that. He was buried in the heart of the earth, and He came out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible said that He sits at God's right hand today, and that He is the only mediator. And that simply means that He is the only person that can go between you and God. He is the only mediator between God and man. So the fact is, and the reality is, if you want to be reconciled to God, you must go through Jesus Christ. That's the fact. All right, let's consider another fact this morning. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. Paul said this, "Therefore, as by the offense of one," speaking of Adam, "judgment came upon all men to condemnation." Read it again. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." The Bible teaches us that the lost, the unbeliever, is condemned. If you will turn to John chapter 3 and verse 18. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned," and that word means judged. "But he that believeth not is condemned," or judged, "already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and that is Jesus Christ, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But it is a fact today that you as a lost person are condemned. You are under a death penalty. The Bible said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. And that's spiritual death. Physical death is a result of spiritual death. I must move on. It is a fact, as we read in John chapter 3 and verse 18, that believers, those who have put their faith in the only begotten Son of God, and let me tell you this morning that that faith is more than just a head knowledge or a decision that you might make in some church somewhere and sign a card and put your name down. I can testify to you this morning that I was raised in such a church and I was told at the age of 8 years old that I was saved. But that's not where I got saved. I got saved on my knees when I was 14 years old. And I knew about that. But those who will put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are not judged. They are not condemned. They are not under a death penalty any longer. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. These are facts. This is reality. Fact, all men will die. Every one of us are going to die. No one is going to escape death in this life. The Bible said that as it is appointed unto man once to die, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, but after this, the judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die. You're not going to die and then come back as some animal or some other thing. There is a day of death appointed to each and every one of us, and we will face that day. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7 speaks about the flesh going back to the heart of the earth and the spirit goes back to God who gave it. If I can turn over there for just a moment. I want to give you the facts. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Man is twofold. When you die, your spirit is going back to God who gave it. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. And your body is going into the heart of the earth. If you'll recall in our reading lesson this morning that there was two men that we spoke of that died, and it spoke of one of them that his body was buried. All men will die, and all men will face God in judgment. Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, very quickly. I know the time is getting away. Romans chapter 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When Paul was on Mars Hill in the book of Acts, he spoke to those people over there and he made a statement unto them, and he told them that God would judge this world by that man whom he hath ordained. Jesus will be your judge. you will face him. Here's another fact. Today, while you're living, you have the opportunity and you have the option available to you to repent toward God, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved by His grace. That's a fact. Jesus is waiting with outstretched arms, and the Bible said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. So while you live, you have the opportunity to be saved. I want you to look with me for just a few minutes at the reality of the rich man and Lazarus. You'll notice that in these scriptures that the Bible speaks of a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which lay at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and the angels came, and he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's with God. And the rich man also died and was buried. Did you notice that there's no mention made of Lazarus' body? Was it left to decay on the side of the road? Was it left to decay at the rich man's gate? We don't have that evidence or that proof, but we do have the proof that there was something about Lazarus that was different than the rich man. Now, I want you to notice this morning, if you are lost, we have talked about the facts of your condition, about being lost, being separated from God, being spiritually dead, not being able to do enough good works to save yourself, not being able to redeem yourself. You are lost, you are condemned, and you are without hope in this world outside of Jesus Christ. So was the rich man. Notice, and it came to pass, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now I want to explain something to you right here this morning, and I want you to listen, especially you that are lost. He lifted up his eyes. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. There's two words in this verse of Scripture I want to define for you. The first one is hell. The Greek word that this word is translated into hell from is Hades, H-A-D-E-S. And it means the disembodied state of the soul. And every one of us is going to that state when we die. When your soul is separated from your body and your body is buried in the heart of the earth, you are in a Hadean state. So this word in this scripture is not referring to the place of burning. But it refers to the fact that that man, when he died, now, if you think that you're going to wait till the judgment day, the last day, to determine whether or not you are saved or lost, this one scripture should put that to rest. And this is a fact that when that man died, his body was buried in the heart of the earth, and in Hades, he lifted up his eyes in torments, plural. Now that word torments means this. It is a touchstone, a stone which is used to test the purity of gold, silver, or other metals. Metaphorically, it means an instrument of torture by which one is forced to divulge the truth. And there were more than one when he got there. We're talking about facing reality. He said, I am in torments. In this state, in my spirit, I am in torments. And there are things in this place that are causing me to divulge the reality of my situation. And that's what that man did that day when he died. He faced reality. Now let me ask you the question, where do you want to face reality? Do you want to face it now or do you want to face it there? He said he lifted up his eyes being in torments, more than one. Many things that were there that were causing him to face reality, to divulge the truth. And the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the honor and glory of God. And you'll either do it now in this life or you'll do it with the rich man in torments. That scripture is found in Philippians 2 and 10. I want you to notice a few things. He cried. He had a voice. And he said, Father Abraham, he still had to put his faith in the wrong person, didn't he? He asked for mercy, and there was none. And he said, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And that word, tormented, means grieved. He had his sight. He could see. He could feel. He had a desire for Lazarus, whom apparently he had no concern for when he was living in this world. That is the evidence of his unregenerate spirit, is the very fact that Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores and the rich man never lifted a finger to help him. He was an unregenerate, unsaved individual. But now he desired Lazarus to come and to dip the tip of his finger in water and touch it to his tongue because he said, I am tormented in this flame. There was fire there. And our scripture text that we read in Matthew chapter 10, and I want to point this out to you, Jesus said, fear him that is able to cast both soul and body into hell. That word is Gehenna. And that was the place of burning outside of Jerusalem called the Valley of Hinnom. And if you go back in the Old Testament and you study some of the things that were done there, there was all manner of wickedness and disease and disgusting things. And there were animal carcasses that were buried there and human carcasses that were buried there. And the fires never went out day and night. And that's the word that Jesus used to describe the place of torment that you are going if you do not make your peace with God while you live in this world. This rich man had his memory. He remembered his five brothers. If Lazarus can't come to me, then would you please send them to my five brothers that they might not come to this awful place? He didn't desire any company. Did you know that if you go to hell, torment I'm talking about, that there will be no one there that wants you there? No one will be standing at the door to greet you. No one will be glad to see you. But the cry will be, why did you come to this awful place? His requests go unanswered. Abraham told him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He got nothing that he asked for. And most of all, he remembered his failure. He said, if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. Why was he there? Why did he go to that place of torment? Because he never repented of his sin of unbelief and trusted the Savior. And he knew that. And I assure you today that if you go to that place, you too will remember. You too will see. You will hear. You will speak. You will cry. You will pray. And none of those prayers will be answered. And you will realize, as the rich man did in that place, that there's a great gulf fixed and nobody's crossing over. You're not going to a place where someone's going to pray you out and get you into heaven. When you die, there's a lot of people in this world that make the statement, I know I'm going to have a lot to answer for when I get to the judgment. I want to tell you this morning, the day that you take your last breath, your judgment is fixed. It's not going to change. It's reality. And one day after a while, I want to bring this to your attention, there's coming a great day when the graves are going to open, and the Bible talks about the resurrection that's going to take place, and he said, some shall come forth unto life, and some shall come forth unto damnation. When that final day of judgment comes, did you know that those bodies are going to come out of those graves? That rich man's body is going to come out of the ground and it's going to come forth with a body that is fit for hell, Gehenna, hell. The Bible speaks about the righteous that they will come forth with a body like unto the Son of God. And let me tell you, when we turn over into the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew for just a moment, and I'll close. Aaron, get your song ready. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and I'm not going to read all of these scriptures, but I want you to get the gist of this. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. Everybody's going to be there. And He shall separate... Notice it said He, Jesus. Remember I told you a while ago He's going to be your judge? And He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand but the goats on the left. Now I want to tell you something. If there is anything left unresolved, if you think you're going to go to the judgment and resolve something with God, plan on going to hell. Because let me tell you, this judgment that we're talking about on the last day is not to determine whether or not you are saved or lost. That judgment has already been made. But that day is the execution of that judgment, both soul and body. Remember our text scripture that we read? Fear Him who is able to cast both soul and body in hell. That day is coming when the graves will open, your body will come forth and be reunited with your soul. Same thing is going to happen to the saved. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he said, to comfort one another with these words, for those which are, we shall not prevent those which are asleep. He talked about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but how that the body would come forth out of that grave for the saved person, a glorified body, one like unto the Son of God, without any sin whatsoever about it. And let me tell you, a saved person is going to stand before the Lord on the judgment day, and he's going to be righteous soul and body. You either stand before God on the day of judgment righteous, or you stand before him wicked. You're either saved or lost. There's no in between. And when your body is reunited with your soul upon that day, he said these words, Matthew 25 and 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And if you go on down into verse 41, he said, "And then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed." Remember I told you a while ago that you're condemned? If you don't get saved, if you don't reconcile with God in this life, you will stand before him, body and soul, on the judgment day, and condemned you will be, body and soul. He said, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." Paul said, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." I want to persuade you this morning to seek the Lord and be saved. I want you to face the reality of your condition, the reality of where you stand with God. Face the facts. You are lost and you need to be saved. If you choose to live a fantasy in this world concerning your soul salvation, you will die in your sins and you will go to hell, Gehenna. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 12, read this in closing. I want you to know what happens on that last day. There's never going to be any more death. There's not going to be any more Hades. He said, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it." That's the bodies buried at sea. "And death," that's the grave, the earthly grave, "and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." So soul and body. Hades delivered up the souls. The grave delivered up the bodies. "And they," soul and body, "were judged every man according to their works, and death," the grave, "and hell," Hades, the disembodied state of the soul, "were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's hell, the burning hell, Gehenna, that Jesus talked about. He said, "Fear him that is able to cast both soul and body in hell." Face the reality of the situation. Face the facts that men are lost. We are separated from God. Jesus died for us. He died that we might be saved. We have the opportunity to repent of our sin and trust him with all of our hearts. He will bless you with his Spirit. He will come into your life. He will redeem you from sin and make you righteous. And one day after a while, when your body is resurrected, he'll make that righteous too. I can't wait sometimes for a saved person living in this flesh is difficult. Our souls are cleansed and righteous and holy in the eyes of God, but this flesh gives us trouble. Sometimes I can't wait till I get a body that won't sin anymore. Paul said this, and I'll close. Who shall deliver me from the body of death? Body of this death. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you want to be saved, if you want to escape the damnation of hell, seek God. Pray, seek Him. Trust Jesus with all of your heart. Let Him into your life, into your heart, into your soul. Let Him save you. Become one of His. And you can stand there on that last day and hear those words, come, ye blessed, receive the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. If there's one here this morning that is lost, if you would, come and seek the Lord. Trust the Lord. Call upon Him from the depths of your heart that you might be saved. Let the congregation stand while that we sing.